Sunday morning. This is 11:24-19. This is a prophet's corner uncut. And I'm going to start with the scripture that's not actually in this word, but as we were singing, the gates are open wide. The Lord quickened this to me. This is Revelation 21, and I'll just read it here. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the lamp of it. And the nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut. They shall not be shut at all by day, for there should be no night there. So to the saved, the doors are always open. We don't have to come like David in into his courts with thanksgiving, his gates with praise to get in. The gate's already open. And we're seated with him on the throne. That's really important with this word that I'm going to bring. It's really important to see this because we are entering into the kingdom age. And it's a new total way of thinking. It's a total different way of ruling and reigning than we have seen in all the dispensations of the church age in the past. I think you're going to see this as I bring this word.
What's the time?
I'm fixing to tell you. It's always darkest before the dawn. It's always darkest before the dawn. This quote was by Thomas Fuller, and it comes from the Yale Book of Quotations. What does it mean? It means the lowest point when things seem hopeless, at their worst, with no apparent end or solution in sight. This came to mind as the Lord was giving me this word to encourage you today. Gideon, hiding out, starving, beating what little wheat he had left. It was dark, but the angel showed up and said, "You mighty man of fearless courage." And you know the rest of the story. The three Hebrew children went into the fire, and the fourth man showed up in the fire, and they weren't even affected, not even by the smell of the smoke. When the Israelites had their backs against the sea parted and they walked over on dry ground. We're talking about darkest hour. Paul and Silas in the jail, Peter in the prison. I could go on and on, you get the picture. All of these instances were darkness before dawn moments. This is the way of the kingdom of God. Each one in the Faith Hall of Fame were in their darkest times, but their faith stood the test. At their darkest moments, they continued to hold the line. They kept pushing back until they took the ground, then all saw their new day dawn. Now I want to read some scriptures in Matthew chapter 28. Reminds me of the Star Spangled Banner. We watched through the night. They were thinking the flag was going to go down, but when they woke up, she was still flying. Now, Matthew chapter 28 is written in a time where a very dark hour came upon the apostles and all those that followed Jesus. They felt like the hope that they had been, he's killed and there was no hope. That's what they felt, no hope. Verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. As for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So they had the day dawned. They had a hard few days where darkness, they were scared. They were hiding in the upper room, actually. You know, they were hiding out because they were afraid that they were going to capture them and kill them also. I mean, their darkest hour, their hope, the hope of Israel was gone as far as they were concerned. And they went to the tomb to seek a dead body. But what did they find? The fourth man saying, he isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just like he said. And when they left, it was with great joy. They were so discouraged and down in the mouth, the wind totally gone from their sails. So they thought, until Jesus showed up in the fire for them, so to speak. Luke 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away. They didn't get a chance to even fix his body up. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. So think about that. They came and the problem was not there. Problem was gone. Dead body. Our hope of Israel is dead. They came to mourn. They came to prepare his body for burial. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and heard all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. This is a new day dawning for you also, for you personally, for your nation and the world. You've won the battle. Many things have stood in the balance, but you have held your ground. You have held the line and kept the enemy from gaining. The enemy is being pushed back to where he is supposed to be. It has been painful but necessary. You know, a lot of yuck still going on out there, a lot of mess, a lot of stuff. You just feel like, ugh, can't even stand to listen to it anymore. But one thing is true. God is still on the throne. We're still seated with him. And it doesn't matter the big stink bomb he makes down here. He is defeated. And he's going to yell going down to the pit. So, you know, they're going to do their yelling. It's like Mike Thompson talking about the lion's army, that this demonic entity, their power is in their screams. Impeach! No, it's not quid pro quo. No. Now it's bribery. You know, just a new word every few days. And they scream it from the housetops. And you can turn on any of the mainstream news sources and you can hear it spewing through the airway. They're all saying the same thing. Bribery, 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 bribery. What's going on here? Satan's trying to set a narrative. He's trying to get enough people to listen to him to get on board and scream it. Their power's in their screaming. But our power's in our words, and it overcomes. It trumps it. No pun intended. It trumps it. All right, Matthew 11, 12. Every time I hear what I'm saying, something like that, I say just exactly what the Lord says. All right, 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, And the violent take it by force. You think the devil's going to roll out the red carpet and let you have it? No, we've already seen that. The last 3 years have shown you they're in it to win it. Well, I have news for them. They've already lost. But we are taking it. People are rising up. They're saying, we're fed up. We're taking it. There may be a day physically that the militia just overruns the government. If they keep dragging their feet, they keep being so careful, they're going to hurt somebody's feelings or the public's not more aware. I think they'll be aware when they storm the Capitol with their guns and shoot the heck out of all of them. Don't you think maybe they might? That's what they'd be doing if we were maybe 100 years from in the back. That's what they would have done. That's what they would have done 100 years below that. That's what they would have done. That's what we're supposed to do in our Constitution. When we see big government get in the way, it's our bound honor to get and do something about it, to put them back in their place. They work for us, not us for them. We've been used since 1903 or 1913, whenever it was, in this measure, to where we've been stolen from, we've been beaten down by the devil. Well, those days are over. You are my army. You suffer to be here. There is a cost to count. There's a cost to count. 1 Peter 1. This is actually the last thing the Lord gave me, and it was just sometimes we do the last first and the first last. 1 Peter 1:6. In this ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I am so glad that the Lord sits in the heavens today and laughs. He's laughing at everything the devil's doing. He is not concerned about it. He's not moved off his throne because of it. Manifold there means various in character. So all kinds of things. Temptations just means adversity. These are the tactics of the enemy. You have stood, held the line, and won the victory. A new day is dawning for you also. It has been set in motion in your life and in your nation. Satan has slung his last arrows. Now stand and observe as the tables are turned. You will observe through 2020 a shift of dark to light. I mean shift, not shift. I say this is the year of the kingdom age, 2020. This is the year of the kingdom age. The church age is over and you're about to step into a new dimension. All right, we're going to look at some things in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1. Let's just start with verse 1. Oh, I'm in John. That's... Hold on. I'm going to get used to this Bible eventually. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who are we? Who are we? We're the church. We're his body. It's our revelation. Who we are. Who we are. That's what the king felt. This is what the the kingdom age is about. The revealing of the church. The true church. Who bore witness of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are born before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loveth us and washeth from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you catch that? Kings and priests. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Just a second. All right. Where did I start? Okay, 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was in oppression on the Isle of Patmos. The church has been in oppression. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Make America great again. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches were in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamum, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, like one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girded about the breast with a golden girdle. So the Lord himself has showed up and he is fixed to judge the church. Think about it. He's calling out their faults. The end of the church, this is the end of the church age. Will they advance over? Will they follow the Lord over, or will they remain? Let's keep reading. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine bronze, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest is my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. Stars of the angels, the lampstands of the churches. The seven stars of the angels, the lampstands which thou sawest are the seven churches. Okay, chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them who are evil. And thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Boy, sounds like today, doesn't it? And hast borne, and hast patience, and from my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from where thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. Now I've had other prior words that the Lord said this very thing, that there will be those who won't cross over. They will not be the ones that filled their lamps and prepared themselves for the kingdom age. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I don't know many people that are overcomers. Most that I know have been overcome. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, who was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. You know, that's interesting, because Q says they've saved Israel for last. Mm-hmm. They've saved Israel for last. In other words, Satan, the cabal, the deep state in Israel, the Mossad, They saved it for last. I think it's because it's the most wicked. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church of Pergamon write, these things saith he unto who hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne is. This church, there was Satan's throne. Wonders if that church that does the destiny cards. And thou holdest fast my name, hast not denied my faith, even those days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. This is abortion here. Balaam. Baal. Baal worship. Balak, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the word of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. Will give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, except he that receiveth it. Now unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine bronze. I know thy works in love and service and faith and thy patience, and thy works in the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants and to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So Babylon, I know Dake says that's a woman, but I don't think so. I think it's a spirit. It could be a woman, but because there are a lot of people that have given over to the Jezebel spirit. And I will cure her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searcheth the minds and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, when I give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, that have not denied or defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. Did you see that? It's possible to blot your name out of the book of life. So the once saved, always saved, don't wash, does it? And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. All right, here we're coming. An open door. An open door that no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Anybody identify with that today? Got a little strength. Got a little strength, Lord. It's been dark. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Stay seated. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, this worshiptainment church that we have come out of. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear me, my voice, and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately he was caught up to the throne. There is the kingdom age. Caught up to the throne. We're seated with him in heavenly places. We don't have to have a revelation on the Isle of Patmos. This is where we're seated, with him in the throne. All right. Let me give you some more scriptures. Oh, Jesus, help us today. All right, Revelation 12. A lot of people counted that scripture passage as the rapture. Here's another one. This is 12:1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. This is that system we're in. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Are we seated with him? We're caught up with him. This is a picture of the overcoming church. This is not the rapture. No more than what I read to you before. Colossians 3. Whether you think it or not, or you feel it or not, this is a fact. Colossians 3:1-3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Romans 5:17. Well, if it's not jiving, we've been chewing it a while. We are already ruling and reigning with him. We're not waiting to rule and reign with him. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they who receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. This has not been about a personal battle. This is about my soldiers taking the slings and arrows of the enemy for the body of Christ, taking back what the enemy has stolen. This is partaking of my sufferings. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1. Five. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. I took this word and looked it up. There is a consolation prize. That's what it said. Consolation means place of comfort in a time of distress and sadness. All right, 1 Peter 4. We're down here struggling sometimes, and Lord said, come up here. Come up here. There's a door open. Come up here. Now, we're not physically there, you know that. But spiritually we are. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to test you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. 1 Timothy 1. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which pointed to thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As long as you're in the Spirit, you're in the throne. Be encouraged today, my soldiers. Job well done. Just continue to hold your ground and don't back down. You are winning. In the days ahead, you're going to begin to see, not just through the eyes of faith, but with your natural eyes, what I've been talking to you about here. Okay, 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 2. Paul said this to Timothy, preach the word, be diligent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of them that love his appearing. Remain instant in season and out of season. You are my makers and maintainers of peace as sons of God, and you rule with me in heavenly places.